Okay, can everybody hear me okay? I'm pretty sure they can. Looks like it. Testing? Yeah, okay. If you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with this Sabbath. Thank you for keeping us safe in this week. We've had nothing but very bad weather all week long, but you kept us safe. You kept the electricity on. And so we thank you for that. Thank you for keeping us warm, too, because without the electricity, we would have been freezing. And Father, we also thank you for all the blessings in this week, all the answered prayers, all the forgiving of all the sins we've committed. We pray, Father, that your presence is made known unto us, as your scripture says, whenever two or more are gathered, you're there in their midst. So we thank you for being here and taking complete control over this worship service. Bridle my tongue and any tongue that may speak so that you are glorified and not us. And thank you again for blessing us with the technology that allows us to go around the world with this with software. We also pray for those that tried to get in here earlier and the servers were down, and we pray that they try again as soon as possible so that they can make it to the worship service. And thank you, Father, for that miracle, too. I don't know who turned the servers on, but it went on about 20 minutes ago. So, yeah, thank you for answered prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget, hit refresh whenever anybody comes in. All right. Okay, we've had some problems all week long. Keep this in prayer, folks, because the ISP that has my server, they bought these battery backups that last 2 to 3 minutes. And I think he's got a heavy load on each battery backup, so it probably only lasts 30 seconds to 45 seconds. So if the power goes out for more than a minute or two, my server shuts off. And most servers have it to where the BIOS is set up to where the server will automatically turn itself back on once the power is restored. The BIOS on my server does not allow that, so we got to get the, if we can, hopefully find a BIOS upgrade for it and pray that we can get a battery backup, because I'm just going to get one for the server itself, because I can't rely on them. I've got one here I can bring over there, and I'll just use one of my own battery backups and replace it later if I can. I'll just go someplace tomorrow and buy a new one for myself. But at least this battery backup that I'll bring there, if someone's there later on after sunset, I'll bring it there, and it'll last 45 minutes if the power goes out. And I've never seen the power go out more than 30 minutes out here during this ice storm, because that's another thing I want to praise the Lord about, because when we first moved out here, not in Indiana, but when we first moved out downstate Illinois, the year before we moved out, they had an ice storm that was not as bad as this one. When it came to the amount of ice that was on the phone lines or electric wires and stuff, it wasn't anywhere near as bad as this. It was about a quarter inch, a half inch, but there was a lot of wind, from what I understand. People were without electricity for 6 weeks. All right? And then the other night when we had our ice storm, the power was going on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off, and my server just kept shutting off, and the guy had to spend the night there at the ISP to keep turning it back on. But he decided to leave it off all night long because of the way the power was fluctuating, and I didn't have a problem with that because I don't want the server to get hit. You know, I don't want the hard drive to get fried. And so they went and they bought the battery backups, but they bought junk. So I'm gonna get a nice one for it. And but the thing is, our power never went off for more than 30 minutes the other day when we had that ice storm, and there was an inch of ice on everything. Every branch, every blade of grass, we also parked our cars outside the garage for the first time. Now both cars have got we used the van, but the T-Bird has got, oh man, it's just, I got to let it sit there till the spring thaw. I can't get that ice off of there. And so, but no wires snapped. Our power didn't go out permanently, and I'm praising the Lord for that. And then this morning we wake up and there's what? Another inch or two of snow? About an inch or two? About 2 inches at least, I would think. It's real pretty, and it's real quiet outside, Fran was saying. It's no wind at all. I can look at the trees right now and look out the window. There's absolutely no wind. And you go out there and it's like acoustically perfect. Oh, yeah. I mean, and walk out there on the lawn, and that snow looks so nice and soft and inviting. You stand on it, and you do a 1.5 triple gainer because there's ice, solid 1 thick inch of ice under the snow, on the grass, on the driveway, on the streets, on everything out here. And the streets, they don't use salt out here. They just put down sand. So that ice is still there on the back roads. I don't know about the main roads. I haven't been out. But anyway, I want to praise the Lord for that, that nothing bad happened. We made it okay. And just about a few people have made it in today for church, and hopefully everybody will be able to make it in. Because, I don't know, it's just strange how, I really don't know who turned on that server. I mean, I called there and no one's there. Because I was on my knees, man. I was begging the Lord, please send somebody there, anybody. I don't care, an angel. I know who's responsible. The Lord is responsible for getting it turned on. How he did it, I'm still kind of curious. I like to see his hand moving. I like to see how things happen. So, because I called around and there was no one answering any phones at all. And then I can't email, so I had to use a Yahoo email account to try to email people, and I got no response there either. But 20 minutes to church time, server turned on. So I'm praising the Lord for that. Okay, we're still in Steps to Christ. Page 96, starting a new chapter. Knowledge of God. A knowledge of God. For those of you that are using the CD instead of the little booklets. Alright, let me see. Okay, a knowledge of God, page 96. Steps to Christ is a little booklet. And if anybody, like the new people that are popping in, if you want a copy of this booklet, let me know. And we'll send it out to you. We still got some of these left, don't we, Fran? Steps to Christ. Well, I got to order Steps to Christ and Great Controversy. I've got a bunch of Shelters in the Storm coming, though. Okay, I do have a bunch of those coming. Michelle said she was sending, or she said sent them out the other day or something. I don't know. Okay. Starting at the top of the page, it says, many are the ways in which God is seeking to make himself known to us and to bring us into communion with him. Nature speaks to our senses without ceasing. That is neat. We were talking about that last week, weren't we? How you can go out into how the nature, you got those silent preachers out there. It's pretty nice. And even today you go out and you look around. And I mean, I want to go out there since it's warming up today, right? It's going to be like 40 or 50. So they say, I know. But with all that cold ice and all that snow out there, it might get 40s, but it'll be foggy. It'll be really, really foggy. But I like to go out there with a camera and take pictures of all this. It's just, it's a painting no artist could draw. I got to tell you, it's beautiful out there. Everything is so. Oh yeah, I'll get an icicle. Like, yeah, Fran suggested this for Rick. Oh, you did? You put it in the freezer for Rick? Okay, yeah, because he lives down in Bonnie and all that. And we'll send you guys pictures of these icicles, okay? Well, Rick used to be, he used to be up North Dakota, I think he said.
Last conversation,
yes. Oh, he asked for send him an icicle? I like to get one of those house sickles. Ever see, you know, like when it comes off the gutter leaks or something? We used to have it at the old house where the gutter leaks and it drips all throughout the winter. And then you get this icicle that goes from the gutter to the ground. And it's about as thick as a baseball bat sometimes, or even twice that thickness when they get all these weird stalagmites and kites on them. But those are dangerous for gutters, though, because if it's not touching the ground, it's a problem. All that weight will pull the gutter down. All right, continuing. It says, nature speaks to our senses without ceasing. The open heart will be impressed with the love and glory of God as revealed through the works of his hands. The listening ear can hear and understand the communications of God through the things of nature. The green fields, the lofty trees, the buds and flowers, the passing cloud, the falling rain, the babbling brook, glories of the heavens, speak to our hearts and invite us to become acquainted with him who made them all. Man, that is so true. I mean, that's why I like so much. Ever since I was a little kid, when I was like 8, and you used to do it too, Fran. You know, you go out for walks in the prairie just to talk to God, and I'll be out there with his creation and checking out the you know, the garter snakes and the frogs and anything else I get my little hands on, or the garden spiders. I used to love those big. I mean, we got them out here, too. They got these, I don't know if you guys got them where you live, but we got these things called garden spiders, and their butt is like, oh, man, it's like a size of a dime. Sometimes it can get that big, and it's really pretty. It's dark, dark, dark black with yellow, like, lightning stripes all over it. And the feet, they're not like your regular spider that you see in a house that walk up your wall. Okay? They don't have those sticky feet. They don't have them. They got little hooks on their feet because they live in a web, and that's it. And then when they walk outside the web, they walk like on needles, it looks like. So when you pick them up and you're playing around with them, you got to be careful because they'll fall out of your hand. And they're heavy enough to get hurt. You know, you drop them and they'll get hurt. But they're pretty. They're just so beautiful. And the web they make and oh, yeah, and to give you an idea how bad drugs are, remember that picture I showed you? I got it in my email about how they took marijuana and they blew it on the spider before they showed the spider's web and after they showed the spider's web with the marijuana. Mm-hmm. And how it was all distorted and stuff and really, really bad. So even a spider can't handle that stuff. But they're so... They can't bite you, by the way, those big fat ones. They can't. It's impossible. Now, the banana spiders, they got the same kind of web, but they'll bite you. All right, continuing. It says, our Savior bound up his precious lessons with the things of nature, the trees, the birds, the flowers of the valley, the hills, the lake, and the beautiful heavens, as well as the incidents and surroundings of daily life, were all linked with the words of truth, that his lesson might thus be often recalled to mind, even amid the busy cares of man's life of toil. You know, remember when those videotapes that we have about Dr. Carl Ball, how he was talking about how this planet was before the flood of Noah? And it talks about how we had it's kind of like a gigantic global hyperbolic chamber. You had twice the atmosphere before the flood of Noah. And it was 70 degrees to 75 degrees globally. That's why when they found those woolly mammoths frozen solid standing up on the North Pole or whatever, they had fresh greens in their mouth, because when that great deep burst forth, it threw the water up 20 miles in the air, but the firmament that the Lord put around the world was only 10 miles in the air, so it broke the firmament, which meant all this water came down that was up there too, not only the water that was underneath the Earth's crust, but the water up above that was making that hyperbolic chamber. But because of the hyperbolic chamber and the way the atmosphere was twice as dense, human bodies had, and any kind of body, including the plants and all this other stuff, the oxygen was able to get more engrossed into the body, which means the lungs would work perfectly, which means you would age extremely slowly. That's why you would get ages of upwards of 700, 800, 900 years of age, like Methuselah, 969 years old. And that's why still some women were like, who was it that was afraid of telling people that it was Abraham with Sarah? And she's 90 years old, and he still considers her beauty being a threat. I mean, look at some 90-year-old women today. But anyway, and I know that was after the flood, but the planet slowly but surely got worse as time went on. The point I'm trying to make is, when that hyperbolic chamber was up there, even the stars in the heavens, not only did you see all the different colors of the stars, because that water that was floating above the earth would magnify it and make them a little bigger for the human eye to see, as well as see the colors, but the radio frequencies, or the songs that the stars would play, could be heard by humans. But it was a soothing kind of a sound to where it was beneficial for human life or psyche, or not, you know, your psychological or your mental well-being and stuff. It was better for, just like with the birds singing. The birds have a certain frequency when they do that singing. It's mostly designed, and they prove this using science. It's not used when they're singing in the mornings. It's not used to get a girlfriend or get a boyfriend. They're just singing because they're created to do so, and the sound they make is beneficial to the human well-being. It's, all of nature is created for us, is more or less what's my point here. And so many people can go out there, like with the pagans, how they worship the nature. They fail to realize there was a creator of that nature, and it was created for them. They miss that link. There's that one little bit of bit of information that they're lacking. Getting back, it says, God would have his children appreciate his works and delight in the simple, quiet beauty with which he has adorned our earthly home. He is a lover of the beautiful, and above all that is outwardly attractive, he loves beauty of character. He would have us cultivate purity and simplicity and the quiet graces of the flowers. If we will but listen, God's created works will teach us precious lessons of obedience and trust. From the stars that in their trackless course through space follow from age to age their appointed path, down to the minutest atom, the things of nature obey the Creator's will. Have you ever thought of inner space? I mean, we got these electron microscopes that can zoom really in deep and look at atoms and stuff like that, but still we can't really even zoom in at the atom itself and see the nucleus and the protons and the neutrons flying around it and stuff. Like it's like a whole little universe. You got that thing in the middle like the sun, and you got these little planets running around real fast. And that's just one of them. There's literally trillions of atoms in every square inch of the air you breathe or the body you walk with, you know. And the Lord controls all that too. He's the creator of all that is seen and unseen. And God cares, continuing, he says, and God cares for everything and sustains everything that he has created. He who upholds the unnumbered worlds throughout immensity, and at the same time cares for the wants of the little brown sparrow that sings its humble song without a fear. Doesn't have to carry a briefcase to work in the morning, but yet it's got a full little tummy in the dead of winter. Figure that one out. I thought these birds lived on seeds and stuff, but you go out there and you look around, you know, and I know they live on seeds, but the Lord feeds them. We haven't seen any birds dropping out of the sky. We ain't got about a bunch of dead birds all over our front lawn. And we got a lot of birds here. We got ground dwellers as well as the tree dwellers, because we got the little forest behind the house, and then we're wrapped in prairie because the landlord is a bird lover. That's why he refuses to let us get a cat, because the way cats don't much care for birds. Well, they like them, but it's more or less the taste is what they like. Anyway, when men go forth to their daily toil, as when they engage in prayer, when they lay down at night and when they rise in the morning, when the rich man feasts in his palace, or when the poor man gathers his children about the scanty board, each is tenderly watched by the Heavenly Father. No tears are shed that God does not notice. There's no smile that he does not mark. If we would but fully believe this, all undue anxieties would be dismissed. Our lives would not be so fulfilled with Our lives would not be so filled with disappointment as now, for everything, whether great or small, would be left in the hands of God, who is not perplexed by the multiplicity of cares or overwhelmed by their weight. You know, a lot of times when we have these worries, we're bogged down and stuff like that, and we have nothing compared to what our Heavenly Father deals with. And he doesn't have any worries. It's just some of the things that he has to deal with. But there's so many times, you know, like you always, you got a situation in life that's happening and you feel, oh, this is the worst, or something bad's going to happen. There's no way out. You can only figure out one or two or three different ways to get out of it. I was reading somewhere in Sister White's writings the other day where she says that the Father has over 1,000 different ways to get out of a situation, you know, to be glorified in it too. So it's just best to leave it in his hands. Like this morning when I was just, I mean, I get up and that server's down and I'm just all upset because, you know, it's my work. I mean, you know, it's my ministry it's his ministry. I'm sorry. It's not mine. I'm just doing what he's telling me to do. And it bothers me when the enemy can get in there and try to stop things like that. Last few days, it's been up and down with all this, because we still have the ice. It hasn't thawed yet. So every now and then, some wire can't handle the weight, and we lose power for a minute or two. All right. That's when we leave it in the hands of the Lord, yes. Amen. Continuing, it says, we should then enjoy a rest of soul to which may have long been strangers. To which many have long been strangers. As our senses delight in the attractive loveliness of the earth, think of the world that is to come, that shall never know the blight of sin and death, where the face of nature will no more wear the shadow of the curse. No leaf's going to fall out of the tree anymore. No flower's going to wither. It's going to be like the Garden of Eden. Could you imagine? And I still think of that every now and then. When Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, when they saw that first leaf fall out of a tree, that had to depress him. I mean, that had to get him to a place where he realized, well, I wouldn't say depressed, but that had to get him to a point where he realized, man, oh man, my sin has cost so much. And then all the leaves fall out. If he's in a region where you're going to have winter, you know. It's like, oh man. Continuing, it says, let your imagination picture the home of the saved. And remember that it will be more glorious than your brightest imagination can portray. In the varied gifts of God in nature, we see but the faintest gleaming of his glory. It is written, eye hath not seen it, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The poet and the naturalist have many things to say about nature, but it is the Christian who enjoys the beauty of the earth with the highest appreciation because he recognizes his Father's handiwork and perceives his love in flower and shrub and tree. No one can fully appreciate the significance of hill and vale, river and sea, who does not look upon them as an expression of God's love to man. But this is all for our benefit. We are the ones that more or less rule the earth. Everything is, you know, we subdue it. Everything is under us. But then, of course, we also have the enemy that lives here, too, that wants to take control. She goes on to say that God speaks to us through his providential workings and through the influence of his Spirit upon the heart. In our circumstances and surroundings and the changes daily taking place around us, we may find precious lessons if our hearts are but open to discern them. The psalmist, tracing the work of God's providence, says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of Jehovah. God speaks to us in his word. Here we have in clearer lines the revelation of his character, of his dealings with men, and the great work of redemption. Here is open before us the history of patriarchs and prophets and other holy men of old. They were men subject to like passions as we are. That humbles you. That kind of puts them in a humble light too in my mind. You know, I think of Elijah or Isaiah or Jeremiah or even Daniel or David. You know, we know what David did. You know, we know what just about all of them did. I mean, according to the scriptures, we know. And it kind of puts it in a little easier light for us to understand. But still, we have to get to a position in our walk where we're worthy to be counted as, I wouldn't want to say patriarchs and stuff like that, but it's nice to know that we are loved as much as the Lord loved them in the past. Continuing, it says, we see how they struggled through discouragements like our own, how they fell under temptation as we have done, and yet took heart again and conquered through the grace of God. And beholding, we are encouraged in our striving after righteousness. As we read of the precious experiences granted them, of the light and love and blessing it was theirs to enjoy, and of the work they wrought through the grace given them, the Spirit that inspired them kindles a flame of holy emulation in our hearts and a desire to be like them in character, like them, to walk with God. Let's pick it up here next week, the second paragraph on page 100, and because it kind of goes into a new topic here, and I don't want to think it does. Yeah, it looks like it does. So we'll pick it up again there next week. We've still got a few folks missing, because I'm sure, because a lot of people have a tendency to come in here extra early and they'll sit around and wait for the church service. You know, they'll get their computer in there and walk away and come back later. Hopefully, when they come back, they'll realize they're out of the room. And then they'll try to get back in. Or they couldn't get in the room. That's right. They didn't even try. But there was someone that tried to get in the room earlier, around 10 o'clock. They did get in, and then they left. So it was up at 10. But when I checked the computer, it was down. I didn't check until about 10:15, 10:30. So it had to happen around that time. So we'll be back in a minute.